We have looked at the churches in the book of Revelation, and on Sunday morning we've been looking at them, and so we went a different thought this morning, but we are going to be in the fifth church. This is the church in Sardis. As we think about the city of Sardis, historically, Sardis was a very wealthy city. When one of the conquerors who captured Sardis went there, there was an enormous amount of wealth that he found. It was just a mind-staggering amount. I read the amount, and he couldn't even comprehend it in those days, dollars, but I can't even imagine today. It was also a very wicked city. And sometimes those two things go together. With wealth, we tend to let down our guard. We become self-sufficient. 700 years before this letter was written, Sardis was one of the greatest cities in the world. It was located in a strategic place. The city of Sardis was at a 1,500-foot elevation. On three sides, to get to this city, there were sheer cliffs. The only way to approach the city of Sardis was a very narrow isthmus. Now, because of this, it could be defended by just a few men. If they had a watchman, if they had somebody looking at the entryway, the only way to get to Sardis, they could spot an enemy from miles away, and they could defend their city with just really a few people. Two times in history, Sardis was overrun and defeated. And the reason that it was overrun and defeated both times were because of their casual complacency. Because of their elevated position and because of their strategic location, they said, you know, we don't even need to guard the narrow way that comes up the cliff. No one would dare come this way, and they didn't post the watchman. Now, it's interesting, because there was a church here in the city of Sardis, and the church, ironically, had the same thing happen to them. Look at verse number 1 again. And here's Jesus writing the letter. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Jesus addresses the church. He said, you had some works. You used to be active for the Lord. You have a reputation. Thou hast a name. The church in Sardis, you are well respected. You are highly esteemed, but you're dead. Thou hast the name. Thou livest and art dead. The only thing you have is your past. The only thing the church in Sardis had was their reputation. They were hollow, they were empty, and they were lifeless. Now this letter is written for the sake of the few in verse number 4. There were still some in the church who spiritually were alive. There were still some in the church, and they wanted to serve God, and they did serve God. But look at what the Bible says. Thou hast a few names, not many, just a handful. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In the church, there was a remnant. Now, they probably should have left. If you're staying with a dying church, and the church won't live, and it won't become alive, and the works won't get done again, you're not supposed to stay there and try to keep the thing going. You ought to leave and find a church that is alive. But here were a few, just a handful. We must be careful not to become a dead church, living only on a reputation. Sardis was a dead church, living only on a reputation. How did it happen? You know, decay is always, always gradual. Decay happens slowly. The Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Proverbs 22, verse 28. What they would do is, they didn't have surveys and plot plans, maps down at the city hall. They didn't have city hall. They would have a field and maybe a stone wall, maybe a tree, maybe a post they pounded into the ground, maybe a big rock, maybe a hedge, maybe a building. And these were their property divisions. If someone wanted to steal property, they would remove the ancient landmarks. But they wouldn't move them in a big way because that would be noticed. They would move them a little bit at a time. All of a sudden, you'd wake up in the morning one day and you'd notice that the rock pile that used to be over here was over there, but you really weren't sure if it was over there because it really wasn't that far from where it used to be and you didn't really notice it. And then maybe after a couple months or a couple years, it would be moved a little bit more by your neighbor. You know, it's funny that the people who remove the ancient landmarks never give themselves less property. They always give themselves more property. You ever notice that? They never move it in the one direction. They always move it in the direction that they want it to be, which is to favor themselves. Nobody ever gives their neighbor more property, right? Decay is almost always gradual. The church backslid a little bit at a time. It wasn't overnight. It wasn't over maybe a course of weeks or months. It was probably over a course of years or a course of decades. And before you know it, the church in Sardis was alive, but it was dead. Thou hast a name, thou livest and art dead. Only a reputation. You know, the sad thing is, when you're dead, you don't realize it. When you're dead, you're the only one who doesn't know, right? Somebody else is dead, you realize, hey, they're dead. When you're dead, you don't know you're dead. The church died a little bit at a time. And before you know it, Jesus said, I'm going to pull the sheet over you and put a tag on your toe. You have a reputation, but you're dead. Jesus had come to tell the few that remained, your church died out from under you. Hey, that horse you were riding, that horse died. It's not here anymore. Let me remind you, you're alive. Your church has a reputation, but it's dead. Your once great church, the Church of Sardis, is a corpse. It's dead. Somewhere, they stopped working. Look at verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. They used to have works. There was a lot that the church of Sardis did. In the community, if you would ask anybody in the town of Sardis, hey, what about the church in Sardis? They would say, oh yeah, I remember when they used to do thus and so. I remember when that was a burgeoning place. I remember when a lot of activity was going on there. And boy, they helped me so much. When was that? Today? Oh, no, it was a long time ago. Their works. Their reputation. But somewhere, they stopped working. The problem is that they thought they had done enough. Well, we don't have to work anymore because we worked in the past. We don't have to work anymore because we worked back then. We don't have to work anymore because we've already done that. Let someone else serve the Lord. I've done enough. May I remind you tonight, the Bible says there is no discharge in that war. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. It's not time to roll over. It's not time to play dead. It's not time to coast into the harbor when we get to heaven. It's time to work till Jesus comes. Amen? They'd done enough, they thought. In Sardis, they stopped marching. In Sardis, they stopped going forward. I wonder tonight, could that happen here? Could that happen at Gospel Baptist Church? Do you live on a past reputation? Well, I used to, but I don't anymore. Thou hast a name. Thou livest and art dead. Do you have a past reputation? Verse number 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have now found thy works perfect before God. Remember, our works are before God. Isn't it interesting that churches that many times are dying, they're always trying to come up with new works. Jesus didn't say, come up with new works. Remember the old works is what he said. Remember the things I taught you. You have to come up with a new program. All the ones who want new programs aren't doing the old program. Give me the old time religion. How long has it been since you got on your face before God and cried out in prayer? Or do you have a reputation? Thou livest and art dead. How long has it been since you lived in the Word of God yourself? Or do you just have a reputation? Thou livest and art dead. How long since you and I witnessed to an unsaved person? How long since we won anyone to Christ? How long since you had a convert baptized? How long since you taught and discipled anyone? How long since you've labored for the Lord and served people? Are your works all in the past? A reputation. Thou hast a name. I used to. I did. In the past. I have works on my record, but none recently. We're dead. Somewhere, they stop working. Somewhere, they stop being watchful. Be watchful. Just like the city of Sardis, they didn't post a watchman. And the city was invaded and destroyed twice. The church stopped being watchful. And Jesus said, be watchful. Because if you're not watchful, he said this, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 3. I believe Jesus said, I'll come to your church, and I'll do business with you, and it won't be a happy day. Did Jesus say the church was dead, or did he say it was alive? Verse number 1. Dead. Dead. It did not die from without. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, verse 18. No church dies from outward pressure. No church dies from an outward attack. No church has to die from an outward influence. If a church dies, it can only die from within. It can only self-destruct. I'm charging each one of us here tonight, don't stop being watchful. The Bible says, the little foxes spoil the vines. It's the little foxes that destroy a vineyard. It's the little foxes, the little things that we let go. It is our carelessness that we're not watchful for that will destroy us. It is our complacency and our self-satisfaction that will hurt us. The problem with the church in Sardis is they stop working and they stop watching. We stop fighting. We stop watching. We stop strengthening. He said, strengthen those things. Parents of teenagers, it's the same way. What happens? The children begin to push back on the parents. You know, it's easy to get worn down. And it's easy to give in. And it's easy to go along with. And the young people want to do something that's wrong or something that's questionable. It's easy to say, you know what? I'm just tired of fighting. I'm just tired of working. I'm tired of watching. I'm tired of strengthening. And just let it happen. And we give in. Don't do it. Our church dies when we do that. Our family dies when we do that. Spiritually. We give an inch here and we slide a foot there. And pretty soon it's thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Only a past reputation. Only a hollow shell. How does a church die? Decay. How does a church die? Failure to work. How does a church die? Failure to watch. How does a church die? Failure to strengthen. How does a church die? Dies from attrition. Members die. And they don't get replaced. You know, we've had a lot of folks go to heaven. And that is a bittersweet time, isn't it? And if you hang around here long enough, some of us will check out, amen, and we'll check in up there. Thank God I've got a reservation. When's your number going to be called? I don't know, but I'm ready. And boy, when that day comes, there's going to be some attrition. Because we'll be gone. But you know what we have to do? Keep replacing yourself. Keep winning other people to Christ. Keep baptizing those who trust Christ. Keep adding them. The Lord needs to keep adding them. But attrition, members die. We have to replace them. Look, we've had so many members die, we can start a whole new church with those who've gone to heaven. But they're gathered in the great assembly in heaven, the church of the firstborn, right? They're not here anymore, but we're still here. One day it'll be us. How about this? Not only attrition and members die, but people backslide. People backslide. Look, people used to live for God. People used to serve God. People used to do things. And then they got out of the will of God, and they got out of God's plan for their life, and they backslid, and they're gone. Well, guess what? The Bible says we need to replace those people. We need to keep finding new people who want to serve God, and hopefully the backsliders get right with God, amen, and come back. That's awesome. But that's how a church dies. Those who are physically dead never get replaced. Those who are spiritually dead, backslide, never get replaced. Hey, there are those who move away. God puts people where he wants. Some people move away. You know what we have to do? Keep replacing them. Keep praying for laborers. Amen? It's exciting, isn't it? But they're not replaced. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but there's a little phrase there. It talks about those who are baptized for the dead. Now, the Mormons got a whole religion on that, right? They find out genealogies, and they baptize you for Aunt Martha, and they baptize you for Uncle Fester, and they baptize you for, you know, they try to find out names and baptize, and they have spirit children, and they go to the planet Kolob, and, you know, if you're a lady, you're eternally pregnant. What is that, a blessing? I want to be a Mormon. All those Mormons have all those wives. You ever see a wife who had a bunch of husbands? That'd be a different religion, wouldn't it? Anyway, I digress. But, however, that's not what that teaches, okay? Being baptized for the dead. Look, somebody dies, they have to get saved and baptized to replace that person, okay? Somebody dies spiritually, we've got to have somebody born again and get baptized to be added to the church, okay? So there are those who are physically dead have to be replaced. Those who are spiritually dead have to be replaced. There are deadheads who have to be replaced, right? Is that a word? I don't know. People have to be replaced. But when a church keeps dying, and that's all you do is die, pretty soon you're dead. The Church of Sardis was a dead church. They never replaced themselves. We must keep replacing those who aren't here. We must keep seeing people born again. If we do not, Gospel Baptist Church will be like the church in Sardis. Can I remind you tonight, mausoleums are beautiful, ornate buildings, but they are tombs for dead bodies. I do not want Gospel Baptist Church to be the most beautiful building on this block and be a place for dead people. I refused to pastor a mortuary. I won't stand behind this pulpit week after week and pump you full of spiritual formaldehyde. I am not a funeral director, you are not a corpse, and we are not pallbearers attending to the burial of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's keep working. Let's keep watching. Let's keep strengthening. Keep witnessing. Keep winning the lost. Determine this. I will not die until I'm physically dead. The church in Sardis died. I think there's a poem about a mariner who was on a boat. It's from the 1800s. And he's on the boat, and the boat is full of dead men. The dead men are rowing the boat, and the dead men are tending the sails. And they're all dead. There's a lot of churches like that tonight. The people are sitting in the seats, and they're dead. The choir director is leading the songs, but he's dead. The preacher is behind the pulpit, but he's dead. No spiritual life. God hasn't showed up in forever, if he ever did. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Then when you find chapter 28, look at chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Now just keep your place there. I heard a preacher give this illustration one time. He said there was a church that was an exciting church. That was a soul-winning church. It was a Bible-preaching church. That was your kind of church and my kind of church. They had a lot of things going on. They were sound in doctrine. They were solid. They loved the Lord. They loved people. They loved their community. They had spring programs where people trusted Christ and people got baptized. And they had people added to the church. They had an exciting choir. It's good to see so many people in our choir. They had a bus ministry. They had buses running up and down the streets chasing sinners and bringing young people and adults and teenagers to church and teaching in the classes and teaching the teenagers and teaching the children. Well, they had a children's program. But boy, it was so exciting. And in that church, there was a man who went there. For a long time, he grew up there. He got saved there. He remembered that there was a verse on the back wall. It was Proverbs 29, verse number 18. And it said, where there is no vision, the people perish. It was a church that had a vision. Had a vision that came from God. An Acts 20:20 vision. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I mean, they were soul winning. They were knocking on doors. The people thought that when the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on their doors, it was the Baptists. I mean, they were that excited. You get excited if you ever go out soul winning, right? Oh, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. No, it's the Baptists. Well, it should be the other way around. Amen. I mean, this church was, I mean, they were winning people to Christ. They were baptizing converts. The church was growing. They had Sunday school. That man moved away. He was gone for years and decades. And finally, he had an opportunity as an adult and as an older man to come back and visit his hometown. And he said, you know, I haven't been in communication with my church for a long time, and it's probably bad on me, but I'm going to go back and see how my church is doing. And he went down to the neighborhood. You know how neighborhoods change when you leave? You know, they tear down buildings, they build new buildings, they switch roads around. And he finally tried to figure out if he was in the right part of town. And finally he found out where the street corner was. And he went down to the street corner and he looked around and he thought, hey, there's the church. There's the building. And he noticed that the building wasn't used for a long time. And the windows were all boarded up. And it didn't look like anybody used the door at all. And he walked around and he said, I wonder what happened. There was no parking lot full of buses like there used to be. And it looked like the church died. And he walked around to the back and he poked on some of the windows and he pried one of the doors and he got it to open. And he went inside. Some of the stairs were decaying and falling apart. Pushed his way through spider webs. And he walked through the Sunday school and he thought, I used to sit in the Sunday school. And I learned, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. I remember singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I remember standing on the chair and shouting at the top of my lungs. I remember Vacation Bible School. I remember getting saved right over there. And he walked into the auditorium. It had been empty for a long time. He looked up on the wall and he saw where that verse was, Proverbs 29, verse number 18. The only problem was the W had fallen off. Of the first word. Now what did it say? Here there is no vision. The people perish. Here there is no vision. The people perish. The church died. No more works went on. There was a reputation, but they were dead. I don't want that to happen here. You don't want that to happen here. God doesn't want that to happen here. Hey, let Sardis get the letter. Not Gospel Baptist Church. Let Sardis get the death certificate. Not Gospel Baptist Church. Let's keep Gospel Baptist Church, keep seeing people saved and born again. Amen. Let Gospel Baptist Church stay alive and reproduce ourselves. Let Gospel Baptist Church keep working. Let Gospel Baptist Church keep watching and keep strengthening. Church dies, verse number 4. Because of sin. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. A church dies because of sin. Verse number 2, Jesus said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. They had a sterling reputation before man, but not before God. They had a name before man, but not before God. God said, before me, you have a secret stain of sin. Sin, unconfessed and not forsaken in individuals, will kill a church. The people in the church in Sardis, not all, but most, had defiled their garments with sin. What a sad testimony that is. They had polluted themselves. You know, it's interesting. The word defiled, it means to be made common. We are not to be made common. Why? We are holy. You are holy. I am holy. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let us not settle for being common. The church in Sardis was defiled. They were common. They were just like everybody else. You know, the church used to attract the world when the church wasn't like the world. They were no longer holy. They were no longer sanctified. They were no longer set apart for the master's use. They had lost their sensitivity to God's Spirit. The church in Sardis was like Samson. Asleep on the knees of Delilah, and his strength went from him. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson played with fire one too many times. Samson played with sin one too many times. And finally, sin caught up with Samson. And it cost him his strength. And it cost him the power of God. And it cost him his eyes. And it cost him everything. And it cost him his life. Blind Sardis. Can you see the church? Blind Sardis, like Samson, grinding in the prison house, living but dead. Let it be a warning to us all. Thou hast a name, thou livest and art dead. Let's look at the promise to the overcomer. Those few in Sardis, just a handful. But Jesus said, I have a promise to the overcomer. In these last several churches, he does not come to the church in general and promise them something. He comes to the individuals in the church. And he said, you know, I can't do anything about the body politic, because your church is dead, but I can do something for every individual. And he said to the overcomers in verse 4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The promise to the overcomer, those few. Number one, he said there will be a special companionship. There will be a special companionship. You will walk with me. Hey, their church died out from under them, but there were a few who Jesus said, if you'll be faithful to me, you'll walk with me. And I'll declare you worthy. Worthy, having excellence is what the word worthy means. The every individual who wants to walk with God, Jesus said, you'll be worthy. You'll have a special companionship. Hey, the whole world can be doing the wrong thing, but you don't have to be. The whole world can be walking contrary to God, but you and I don't have to be. And Jesus said, if you'll walk with me, I'll be your companion. If you'll walk with me, I will call you worthy, excellent. Number two, a special companionship. Number one, a declaration having excellence, worthy. Verse number 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. He said, you'll be clothed in white. There's purity. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll be clothed in white, I believe. And I believe here it is a special thing, because that was promised to everybody who is saved. But he said, if you'll be an overcomer, there will be a special delineation. You'll be clothed in white. You'll be pure. You'll be noticeable. Maybe in the millennial kingdom, I'm not sure. But Jesus said, I'm going to make sure that you have a special clothing. Number three, the third thing. Verse number 5, he said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, there are two books in the Bible. When you are born, you're in the book of life. When you're born again, you're in the Lamb's book of life. When you're born, you're in what the book of Psalms calls the book of the living. When you trust Christ, you're in the Lamb's book of life, the book of the Lamb. Okay, so there are two books, alive and born again. Those who die without Christ have never been written in the Lamb's book of life. They'll be blotted out of the book of life. Those who know Christ as their Savior, they're in two books. Now, I believe Jesus here is teaching. There's a lot of different thoughts about this. But I believe he said you will have a purposeful continuance and you won't die an untimely death. An overcomer. Jesus said, you know, I want you around. That church in Sardis, it died. He said, if they don't pay attention, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. And I'll just knock that church out of existence. And he said, you know, if you're going to be an overcomer, I will give you a purposeful continuance and I'll keep you alive because you are doing something for me. There are others. Didn't Paul say that some would see the destruction of the flesh, right? So they could go to heaven because they were living a bad testimony. He said, I'll take you home early because you're a bad testimony. You're besmirching the name of Christ. I'll take you home early. Hey, those who are overcomers, he said, I'm going to keep you around. Number four, he said this. Not only will I give you a special companionship and declare you worthy, not only will you be clothed in white and have purity, not only will you have a purposeful continuance and not meet an untimely death, but verse number five, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. A confession of merit by Jesus to his Father before the angels. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you'll deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. There was a presentation that the Romans had. If you were a valiant soldier in the battles, when they came back from a successful campaign, you would be brought into the Colosseum, and the king, Caesar, would be there, and they would read your name, and you would get a commendation before the king. It's like a medal, like a special recognition. And Jesus said, you know, in that dead church of Sardis, where not a lot of people wanted to keep on going for God. Not a lot of people wanted to keep on working. And nobody wanted to keep watching much. But there were a few. Jesus said, if you'll be one of those few, when you get to heaven, I am going to recognize you before my Father and before his angels. Well, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Can I leave you with this thought? Can I remind you tonight? It is worth it to be an overcomer. It's worth it to be an overcomer. To him that overcometh, so many promises in the Bible. Well, what about them? I don't know about them, but I know I can do everything about me. Well, what about that church? I don't know about that church. I just have to worry about this church, right? What about that situation? What about that? Hey, what about me? What about you? It's worth it to be an overcomer. Let's pray. Father, I pray that tonight.